Turning God's Word this evening to the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, once again a familiar portion of Scripture. I just want to speak on three things that you need. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll read from verse number 9 through to that familiar verse which many quote in verse 17. Let's read God's Word together. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciousness. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that thou would fill us. O God, we pray, O God, that thou would help us as we come to preach thy word. We come seeking power. Power in our preaching and our teaching. O Lord, power as we come, knowing that the love of God constrains us to preach Christ. Help us now, we pray. Stand at this preacher's elbow. Fill our mouths with the coal from off the altar. And use us for the glory and for the honor of thy precious name, we pray in Jesus' name's sake. Amen. As we come to this gospel evening service tonight, I stand as a preacher knowing that preaching to a people comes with a great responsibility. I am but a sinner saved by grace. It is my responsibility to be faithful to your soul, to bring the gospel to dying men and women and young people. It is not that a preacher, should think twice before telling the truth to a people, but it is the truth that is proclaimed that should never be hidden, because God is good. Because God saved us by his grace, and in turn we have to tell other people about the love of God. It would be remiss of this preacher to just tell people about God's love, because there is the wrath of God to come. For those that turn not to the Lord Jesus Christ, because as we come this evening, we come because eternity depends on it. And because people are dying in their sin and going out into a lost eternity without God, and it breaks our hearts to know that people are rejecting God and they're living in their sin without God. Because the sin that you're committing against God, will one day, you will find by dying in your sin, you will open your eyes in torment, and you'll be judged for all that you did while you're on earth. When you die in your sin, you will be damned forever. And I stand here this evening as the preacher of the gospel to warn you, because it is your destination and your eternity that we are dealing with this evening. Because if you die in your sin, you will die and go to hell. But we're talking this evening about heaven or hell. Three simple things I want you to know this evening. And the first one's found in verse number 11. Three things that you'll need. The first thing you need, it is someone to tell you about your sin. Verse 11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciousness." You need someone to tell you about your sin. It was very apt in our prayer meeting before the church service that one of our sisters prayed, and praying for the preacher. And they prayed knowing that it is through the foolishness of preaching that God's ordained way that souls would be saved. You see, there is a reason why you found your way to this gospel service. There is a reason why you're listening online. It is a reason why, because you need to get right before God. You need to know about God's salvation. And I'm here as a preacher of the gospel to warn you that before God, you're a sinner. And without God in eternity, you'll face the wrath and the terror of God which is to come. You see, there is a need. There's a need for people to run from their sin. There's a need for people to hear that they are sinners. How can they hear? How can they hear without a preacher? We think of how a preacher can preach except they be sent. Here we gather in this evening service and the wrath of eternity which is to come. And you need to run from that wailing and gnashing of teeth that will come. Because it is inevitable for those who reject Christ Jesus. But there's a need to run from sin and run to Jesus Christ. For those who have been saved, there's been a people praying for you. I thank God isn't finished with us. I thank God that as we look this morning, God hasn't forsaken us. And I thank God that even in our gospel missions up and down this country, and I was glad to share with our people when we saw souls saved in our gospel mission, that people were being saved in this gospel mission that you had here. I was thankful to hear of people being saved in our Cumber congregation in their gospel mission when God was still moving and God wasn't finished with the work here in this denomination. But it breaks our heart when people are not running to Christ. For some reason, you're holding your sin with both hands. For some reason, yet today, you've turned to your own ways, your natural sinful ways, and you've been captured by the love of sin. You've been captured with the things of this world, and you continue to live to this world, and you continue to rejoice in those simple things which in the world which you have, but yet they're only for a season. But they will come one day and bring the wrath of God. Bible says, knowing the terror. That word terror, it points to fear in the sense that people need to fear the Lord. We knowing the terror of the Lord in the sense where they must fear God. So knowing this as a preacher of the gospel, I proclaim God's word, because you need to hear God's word. God's word needs to be heard in this day and age. And I'm not going to move an inch from God's word. I'm going to stay the course of preaching God's precious word. And you know why? Because God tells us in his word we should. God tells us in the word that we should preach nothing else but the word of God. And I proclaim God's word because it needs to be heard. And if people are not hearing or not caring or not listening, then the end of the way is the way of death. You know, in the in these verses of Scripture. We're told that people are interested in certain things. You see in verse number 12, it says in the middle of it, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf." There's a glory in your behalf. And there the apostle's telling them that they preach because they need to hear. And he's outlining them that people are interested in their glory, not Christ's glory. And the Bible tells us in verse 15, an example of them, he says, they live unto themselves. And people are living to themselves, and they're living their own lives. And the reason why there's an open door here in this church and in our denomination, up and down this country, every morning and every night, is because we seek to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is with fear and with a burden in my own heart I stand. I stand as a preacher. I am called of God to preach the gospel. Call of God to preach, to let you hear that you will realize that you are but a sinner in need of God's salvation. And call of God to proclaim God's word because you need to fear your eternity. I fear that many are showing a lack of consideration and disrespect in this day towards the things of God. And people are not moved from their sin, and they are living as they're living. And they say, "I live as I please, and I'll die in my sin." And they want it their own way. But we, knowing that the word of God, and we knowing that the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, women, and children so that you do not have to face the wrath of that will come. But in God, who in wrath will remember mercy, and will draw you from being a sinner and draw you to trusting a Savior. And the reason why we preach Christ, you know, the Bible gives us so many reasons. But you know what the apostle says? Knowing the terror. Knowing the terror. Or take it this way, we know. We know. They're saying we know all about it. It's not that we think about it. But we know because he lives within our hearts. And because we've no doubt that God's word says so. So if you have never been saved, if you've never turned from your sin, and if you just lived the way you were, say, "I was born to live," how are you going to answer before God in judgment? When judgment day comes. For the reality is, you need a faithful preacher of the gospel. Lest you go into a lost eternity without God. You'll say, "But I never heard." Although the Bible tells us that God gives faithful witnesses. Remember the man over in Luke chapter 12. We're not going to turn to it this evening. There was a man, Luke chapter 12, and his life was coming to an end, but he wanted to have his fill. He wanted everything. And God says, "You're a fool. This day thy soul shall be required of thee." Luke chapter 12, he was a man, he was rich, a man who was many capabilities, but really he had nothing. He was just living his own way. Then Luke 18 is another man. He's another man. And then there's a man who's in eternity. Remember what Abraham said to him? "You've got Moses and the prophets. You've got faithful witnesses. You've got those witnesses that you should hear the word of God," meaning you've got preachers. But they need to hear. Need to hear. You say, "Preacher, but I've heard spoken about eternity. Maybe this evening I hear you speaking about the wrath of God, and preacher, I'm really wanting to shut off. I really don't want to hear. Preacher, I need something that's easy to listen to rather than just the truth. Do you know what the gospel? The gospel isn't meant to be easy to listen to. It's meant to stir the hearts. It's meant to give realization to sinners before a holy and righteous God. And you, if you haven't got saved, you're missing out, because the Bible says ye must be born again. So as a preacher of the gospel, I've been given charge to tell the people of this land of their need of God's salvation. And if I'm not faithful to your soul, how will you hear? It is not the kind of preaching that people are deceived into thinking, well, it's okay. It's not just the preaching where people say, well, that's good enough. Or someone says, well, works can get me into heaven. I can get into heaven by this way. It was my responsibility to tell you that you could only get to heaven through Jesus' blood and righteousness. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing of glory, for necessity is laid on me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I remember the day I wept up in that gallery. Sitting in a church service, and God had been calling me to first full-time service. And I said, God, I need a word this evening if I'm going to go or not. I remember sitting through that meeting, Dad was preaching, and not one thing was for me. But our oldest boy, Luke, just wrote something down on a sheet of paper. He copied the words that were up above here and said to Dad from Luke. I remember sitting at the end of that service at the prayer time weeping, knowing that it was God's call, among other things. But woe was unto me if I preached not the gospel. And that's a challenge to me as a preacher. It's a challenge to any preacher. If you don't preach the gospel, woe was unto you. You need a preacher. Need someone to tell you very quickly. Time's flying on. You need to realize that you are a sinner. Look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There is an appointed day of judgment that is coming, when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There'll be no way of getting out of it. Judgment day will come to pass. And just because you're willfully living in your sin, or you're living a life against God in your sin, that doesn't mean that God will overlook it. Because God sees the open things, but God also sees the hidden things too. Remember what the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 17? For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Then 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Let me just read a few verses there in verse number 10. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There we notice that there's a natural man. But God in his mercy brings people across our path. The people that go against the grain. That tell us that we repent of our sin. That we do what is different from living our sin. Because repentance is needed. Repentance is required. And there's a pre-warning of this to come. The Bible tells us in that verse 10 we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, you must change. It says, you must appear. You must change your character around. There's a place where you'll one day stand trial before God. For God is just. And God is holy. And knowing that we are but human beings, but God has set out a standard whereby we should live. And if we do not live God's way, then you will be judged as you stand before God in eternity. For Job 14 verse 12 tells us, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. But where is he? Eternity beckons. Opportunity has come. Yes, there will be a time when you will give up the ghost. But where will you be? Heaven or hell? But know this, you will stand before God. You must change your character around. But also you must realize that judgment is certainty. The Bible says you must appear. That means that no one's exempt. That means that it's mandatory that each person will stand before a holy God. But there's good news. You can escape the punishment that you deserve, which God holds for those who are sinners. And know this, that the way of escape of punishment is through no one else and nothing less but Jesus Christ and his blood and righteousness. Not just knowing that he exists, not just having a head knowledge, but believing in your heart that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to die on the cross of Calvary, and he died for you, that you would know that you have been redeemed through his precious blood. He came to be our substitute, and God raised him from the dead. And today he sits at the right hand of God and will return. And when he does, if you're not saved, he will appear at his judgment seat where mercy is forgotten, because in that day it is too late. I'm not going to turn to the words over in John 3 verses 3 to 7, but it's telling us, marvel not that he said unto me, you must be born again. Thirdly, you must realize that you will be judged. Verse 10 tells us, we must all appear. Praise God for those that are in Christ Jesus. We will stand blood washed. We will stand before God as a sinner saved by grace. But others will stand before God as a sinner. And they'll stand before that judgment seat. And according to all that he hath done, according to all that she hath done, they shall be judged. And on that day, they'll be giving account. You know, normally people love to receive the gift. But on that day, the giving that will be received will not be welcomed. Because as you stand before God on that judgment seat on that occasion, you will know that your eternity is not what you thought it was while you were on earth. But you will realize that those who preached the word of God and told you of God's salvation were right all along, and you missed out because you did not care. Maybe you thought, I can do anything I want and still God will forgive me. But on that day you'll stand before God knowing that you were deceived into thinking that you were okay, and you'll stand before that white throne of judgment seat awaiting God's judgment according to all you did. Tells us over in Revelation 20 and verse 11 to 15 that everyone will stand there, small and great. And all will stand there in that day. And I plead with you. Consider Christ. Consider your latter end. Repent tonight of your sin and call upon God to forgive you, lest you will face those circumstances. I would encourage you to look at those words. I'm not turning to because of time in Revelation 20. There's another little thought. You need to acknowledge that Jesus is the only way. Very briefly, verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want you to know that there's a way back to God. And that's through Jesus Christ. You can know all about Christ Jesus. You could hear all about Christ Jesus and still go to hell. But if you turn to Christ, if you repent of your sin, then you'll be the new creature. And when a sinner comes to Jesus, what a difference Christ makes. What a difference he makes to a person transformed by God's grace and transformed by his mercy. They're not what they used to be, because the Bible says all things are become new. You see, the old life of sin is caught up in worldliness, is passed away, and the new creature, the new nature, indicates a spiritual transformation. There will be change in a person's devotion, meaning that their interests will change. There will be a change in their behavior. Yes, their behavior will change. There will be desire for the Lord's house. There will be desire for the Word of God. There will be desire for the prayer meeting. There will be desire for the things of God. And most of all, their destiny will change. For in our sin, our destination is hell. But Christ in our heart, it's heaven. But to get saved, you must acknowledge that you're a sinner. You must acknowledge that Christ is only Redeemer, and you must place your trust in Jesus Christ, putting away the old things because they keep you from God. You can't keep the world in one hand and God in the other hand. For Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. Either we will hate the one or love the other, or else hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Remember the words of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not in him. For all the world, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. There's a 3-point sermon in itself. It's not of the Father, but it's the world. You need a personal Savior. You need cleansed from sin. And let me ask you, like Pilate mentioned to the people on that day, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What will you do? Charles Wesley said, there's a new creation. Only the power that makes the world can make a Christian. And when he is so created, the old things are passed away. Even the undeniable change. All things become new. They have new life, new senses, new facilities, new affections, new appetites, new ideas, new conceptions. The whole tenor of the action and the conversation is new. And he lives since he was created anew by in Christ Jesus. And it begins with the acknowledgement of a sinner. A work completed when someone repents of their sin and cries mercy. So back to verse 11 as I close. I preach not because it's a position, but I preach under the call of God. To preach, to tell men and women and young people that Christ is Christ, and with Christ heaven is secure. And I preach persuading men and women and children, because without Christ, judgment is sure. And I do not want you lost in eternity, but I pray you'll make ready for heaven. You'll come to Christ and you'll be saved. I cannot make the decision for you. I wish I could, but I cannot. You must come the way of the cross. You must cry for mercy. And you must Put away that old man, and you must be born again. I started off this meeting saying, I am just a sinner saved by grace. That's true. May God shake your heart this evening. May God bring you to Him.